Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerlux's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerlux partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxvip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Polly Sayer, Tamara Corrin, and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
How's everyone been?
Good.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to launch straight in and say that Stranger Things is back. And that, oh my God, it's scary. I tried to watch some last night in bed with the lights off and actually had to stop. I had to put an after sun. Which is the Love Island like after show, which is really low. But I was getting really freaked out.
Go for something lighter.
I have also watched the first two. I feel like I'm going to get mullered for this. I would like to start off by saying I love Stranger Things. I'm obsessed with it, but I'm not convinced by the first two episodes.
What? Why?
I actually found it a bit cringe. I don't know. I'm obviously going to watch it to the end and I'm probably going to end up loving it. But I think it's because they're all a bit older. I can't work it out.
I feel like a lot of TV shows that start with really strong kid characters really lose their mojo as those kids become older teenagers. It's like the Modern Family effect. It's really sad.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. I mean, like you, I was petrified. It's really gruesome as well. Like, get ready for that. But I'm not sold yet. I feel like I need a few more episodes.
Oh, I have to say, I disagree. I don't find it cringe. I think they're moving the show along with the characters as they age really well.
Yeah.
So they're now kind of in the early stages of teenagers. A lot of kissing, a lot of like boy and girl dramas going along as a backdrop to all the creepy shit going on in their town.
I think maybe that's it because I think I so love them being like young and a bit Goonie style and it was a bit fresh that now it's just suddenly like, oh my God, they've hit puberty and they're like getting off with each other.
Yeah.
But I am going to stick with it. I mean, the thrill of it and the scariness of it is enough to keep me going.
I think it's the scariest opening few episodes of any season so far.
Completely agree.
So I should not watch it alone tonight.
Definitely not. Okay. Have you watched seasons 1 and 2?
Yes, I loved them, but I don't feel as excited about this series. I don't know what else there is to say, but maybe I'll be surprised.
From what I can tell so far, there's a whole new drama.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new Stranger thing that's going on. It's to do with Russians, which that's not a spoiler. You can see that at the very beginning. And obviously it's set in the 80s. There's a kind of Cold War backdrop.
Right.
And I think that's the new conspiracy.
Yeah. Do you feel that you have to have seen the seasons beforehand?
Definitely. 100%. Yeah. It's not that big an investment. There's only 8 episodes per season.
Yeah.
So there's only 16 to catch
up on.
It's so doable.
And I think you have to really fall in love with the characters.
But you do.
You can't know them. Yeah.
You can't watch it and not.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
And season 1 is just so good.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think the thing is they're all amazing in it. Everybody. And Winona Ryder is my absolute favorite.
She's queen, isn't she?
She plays that neurotic character like nobody else.
And I love in this season the increased role for, what is his name? The bad boy.
Billy. And he is bloody hot.
He's hot.
He's definitely got a bigger part in this as well.
Definitely. Ooh. Yeah, without giving anything away. So watch it if you're a fan, get on it. But yeah, maybe watch it in the daytime.
Yeah.
Okay.
On a completely different note, I also saw Toy Story 4 this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
It is so good. GQ recently wrote a feature saying that Toy Story 4, amongst other films, like all these Disney remakes, are actually not really for children. Obviously, you can take your kids, but really they're for people of our generation who grew up with them and we're the people bringing in all the money. The article said when the Lion King trailer dropped, within 24 hours it had 250 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
And he was like, these aren't all 6-year-olds.
No.
So it really is for people of our generation, and that is exactly how Toy Story 4 feels. It's part of the canon. You need to have seen the others to really care and be invested in the characters.
I think also there's always so much adult humour in these films now, and you just can be sitting with your child and they're just seeing it how it is.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of giggling alongside thinking, oh my God, what a great line, or just things that obviously as an adult you appreciate more.
Exactly. And even when when you go back and watch like your childhood favourites as an adult, you see them in a completely different light, don't you?
Yeah.
It does everything you want it to do. It's funny that you'll shed a tear or two. I think they should finish.
I think that's what they've said. This is it.
And they've really ended it in a way that it would have to be quite far-fetched to pick it up again.
Right.
Does it feature all the same characters?
All the same characters. Great. Bars is a bit more secondary. It's more Woody focused.
Oh.
But there are two new characters as well. These really sassy little rabbits who are just like this really jokes, double act. So yeah, it's great. I really can't recommend it enough. If you are a fan of the original series, it's worth a watch.
Right.
One last thing for me. Last week I talked about Busy Phillips's autobiography, which I have now finished. And it is so good. I said last week that I thought she was building up to a lot of celebrity chat, and I can confirm there is some good celeb insight and good gossip, and she's just a really inspiring person because she's so normal, and it's just nice and refreshing to hear somebody who is, you know, on the outside looks like they're doing really well and really successful, and just to see how they really cope with that. And that's highly recommended.
I really want to read it. Doesn't she dish some dirt on James Franco?
She's really disparaging about James Franco.
I'm ready for that. Yeah. I need to get involved.
Yeah, loads of people. She talks a lot about Heath Ledger and Michelle's relationship. Towards the end, she's particularly cutting about one of the producers of Modern Family, who she names and shames. She doesn't hold back. But I don't recommend reading it because it's some good bitch about Hollywood. It's more just
it's everything.
Funny and real and great. I recommend it.
That's next on my list.
Okay, I think everyone was pretty excited to chat about this on the podcast today. We wrote a feature on 11 foodie accounts to follow on Instagram. So whether you're looking for dinner inspiration or just want to drool over some really good food, these are the accounts that you should be following. I'll get to the list in a minute, but first of all, I want to know, who are your top food follows on Instagram? Do you follow a lot of food influencers?
Not loads, but I definitely have one that I think at the moment is my standout favourite, which is what I ate for breakfast. And breakfast is my favourite meal of the day. So every day something pops up and it just makes me salivate every single time. It's just really, really great breakfast recipes. Halloumi features a lot, which is obviously a plus. So one of my personal favourites that's popped up recently is the fajita halloumi crumpet sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
Which is two crumpets in a sandwich form. Halloumi with sort of fajita spice on it, scrambled eggs, avocados. And it just looks absolutely divine.
I literally think I'm drooling.
Yeah.
You could do that even without the crumpets as well, couldn't
you?
Yeah,
totally.
You could just put it in a wrap or something.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
I mean, it all sounds delicious.
Are they all quite replicable? Are they easy to do at home?
Yeah, so I think they all look obviously amazing, but when you look at the ingredients, there's nothing too weird and wonderful in there. They're all stuff that you could create at home, and the lady who runs it put the recipes in the captions most of the time, and yeah, they look so good. So I've yet to actually try one at home, but I think the time
delicious.
Will come very soon.
Are there any that you can do on the go, like that you could take to work, or are they all quite like weekend?
I think they're definitely more weekendy, and they're also quite filthy, a lot of them. I would want to eat them during the morning, so
bring on the crumpet sandwich.
Yeah.
That sounds unreal.
Yeah,
she's a good one. I think she does some really good Marmite things, if memory serves.
Yeah.
Tamara, what about you? Do you follow any foodie bloggers?
It's one I actually really love. I'm not a fully fledged veggie, but I eat a lot of vegetarian foods. It's called the Evergreen Kitchen, and there's lots of vegetarian recipes. I also love food photography. I could look at anything and just think, oh my god, that looks amazing.
Me too.
I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to make it, but I do appreciate looking at food on Instagram specifically for what it looks like, rather than I'm going to try it at home, rather than for inspiration, but just appreciate, you know, whether it's someone sitting in a lovely restaurant taking a picture of what they're eating. So I think it's always beautiful content, especially if it's, you know, laid out beautifully. Mm-hmm. Presentation is key, but Evergreen Kitchen is probably one of my faves.
And does she do recipes, or is it more like inspo?
It's more inspirational, but there's the odd recipe. But it's also very simple food, so it's just really making it look lovely, or perhaps, you know, mixing ingredients you wouldn't normally mix together. But it's all very doable.
Okay, good one to follow. Do you know she's English?
I don't know why,
but I find it easier to follow British food bloggers, only because you get measurements that you can relate
to. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And ingredients that you get in the UK. I think particularly with food, there's a translation process to be done if it's somebody from the States. So
they don't have crumpets in America, do they?
They don't have crumpets. Muffins, that's kind of what a muffin is there.
A breakfast muffin.
I feel
like crumpets are much better than breakfast muffins, in my opinion. Sorry.
Becky, what about you?
So I have been following someone called The Feed Feed. Has anyone?
Oh, yes, I've heard of The Feed Feed, yeah.
Basically, they do sort of Instagram TVs, they do videos, and it's very recipe-based and lots of nice tips on how to create it. And actually, Tamara, off the back of what you were saying, I love looking at food photography as well. But I actually like looking at it and thinking, I'm going to replicate that. I never do, but the thought is there.
Looking at The Feed Feed, these look like nice images of food that you could actually recreate.
Exactly.
There's a lot of salads and
But also, then you've got an Instagram TV on fudge pops. What? Just throwing it out there, frozen fudge. I mean, why not? It's very accessible, but I mean, it's so drool worthy.
And again, do they do recipes?
They do recipes in the captions, okay, and break it down. And then again, I think in their videos and Instagram TVs, they'll sort of take you by it step by step. So it's really nice.
Do you guys find videos on Instagram or even YouTube easy to follow for recipes?
No, I like to have the recipe in front of me.
I think
me
so too.
Yeah. I think otherwise it's almost like stop, start, and you're following. Yeah. I think it's much better when you've got it written.
Exactly.
Me too, but I do find food videos quite hypnotic.
Oh, I love it. Yes. What is the one on Facebook? What are they called? Tasty?
Yes, I think they might be Tasty. I always tag matching things.
There's something very satisfying about watching it, and you're just like, oh, pass me.
Have you ever actually tried some things that you've seen like in a Tasty video on Instagram or Facebook?
Because again, they're really filthy.
Yeah, they're always filthy,
but really naughty.
Yeah, we did one once, and like looking back on it, like unbelievably filthy. So it's like, there's a whole avocado with like an egg on the inside where the stone would be, wrapped in bacon.
Oh, I've seen this one. That's good
I mean, it was
high protein.
Yeah, it's very high protein. Good fats, obviously.
Good fats, high protein, exactly.
Yeah, but like that's the only one I've ever replicated and didn't look nearly as good as it did in the video, unfortunately.
I think that's the thing when you try to replicate them, they just don't look the same, do they?
Also, I love how that's Polly's like idea of bad. I would have wrapped that with bread. I would have had a bit of something
going
on.
I think that's quite a balanced breakfast.
Yeah, I think that's pretty damn balanced, Polly.
Compared to some of them where you have to bake like 15 different types of cheese into a loaf of bread. That's not terrible.
Okay, thanks for making me feel better about that.
Well, Tamara, I'm with you in terms of food photography. When I was preparing for this podcast and looking through all the food accounts that I follow, that seems to be a common theme that I don't like. The ones that kind of round up generic recipes, they're very much all somebody's individual style of photography and cooking. The thing that kind of threads them all together as well for me is a kind of heritage Britishness, I think, A, for the recipe reasons that I gave before, but also I love the idea of people cooking with really British farmers market style ingredients, you know, and really seasonally. So that's really reflected in the people I follow. So Izzy Crocker is one of them. She was actually on this list of people we put together. She's also half of the Curious Pair, who are food photography duo, and again it's just the most beautiful photography, all from her travels of different chefs, all the different food they put together, but also her own cooking as well. And I mean, it's like porn for food. Seriously, it's so stunning. The other one who is like that is Rosie Birkett, who also was on this list. And Tamara, I don't know if you remember, we did a Things We Love on the show a few weeks ago, and I had her new book called The Joyful Home Cook as one of my things that I love, because again, all the imagery is like, you know, a Devon beach and somebody cooking clams on like a bucket, and kind of rhubarb cakes and asparagus, just really fresh British ingredients that is really drool worthy. And then there's also At the Original Dish, and her name is Kayla Howie. And again, I mean, look at that. It's all like blackberry pies and scallops and radishes and just, gorgeous, fresh.
I just want to know who eats these meals afterwards.
Befriend somebody with the test kitchen. Really gorgeous. Okay, well, other recommendations on this list included Feed the Swimmers, who I actually follow as well, and she doesn't upload loads, but it's always big nutritious bowls of things and a lot of like pizza style dishes, lots of green, which is very tempting and also good inspiration. Georgie Pudding and Pie, who's a food writer and stylist and is influenced by her Greek Cypriot grandparents' style of cooking, so expect to be hungry after looking at her account. And also Drizzle and Dip, which is run by food stylist, photographer and quotes delicious hunter Sam Linzel, who also takes amazing photos of just delicious food. There's so many, aren't there? But god, all pretty tempting. In like a whole other vein, maybe this is a different conversation, but of Instagram food accounts, I'm obsessed with all those people who make like really pretty little desserts. So things like Flavortown Bakery. There's also a bake by Steph Becky, who I know has sent you some bits in the past, and oh my god, she makes the most incredible,
really innovative. I mean, that really is a talent. That looks like a headache to do, but they were delicious.
But also, they don't only just look good, they taste amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah. She's clearly worked with loads of brands. She's done the most incredible, intricate, like Chanel bags and Gucci shoes. And her biscuits taste, as you say, incredible.
Really, really, and perfectly soft and like, oh, I can actually taste it now.
Maybe we'll do a roundup of the best bakers on Instagram. Better tell Heather ASAP. Okay, we're going to talk about Google Home now. For those who don't know what it is, It's a bit like Amazon's Alexa. It is a device that you can talk to really get your life in order. We wrote a piece on all the things you can use your Google Home for. I would have to say I was really impressed reading this piece. It does things like remembers important information. So you can say to it, hey, Google Home, remember that I left my passport in my bottom drawer. And then all you have to do is ask them down the line to remind you things that you asked it to remember. It can also plan your holiday. It can offer you the best deals and give you suggestions for trips. It can also switch between languages, which I loved the suggestion in this, that if you are trying to raise bilingual children, you can just switch between, which is also pretty cool. And also, supposedly, they're even developing technology to help it save a life, so it can do things like identify if your breathing is abnormal and call 999 if it believes you're having a heart attack. Anyway, so this is all really fascinating, but I also think it's very creepy.
I agree. I think all these devices, there must be some kind of security risk. There's a bit too much information, but I have to say, for me, I hadn't heard of this before until I read this feature, and I was really impressed. And actually, the tell stories to your children, I thought, results when you're really tired and you just don't want to sit there telling a story. And they love technology, don't they?
Yeah, so that's
this
true.
This is like, you know, double tick there.
The novelty of having a machine read your bedtime story must be.
Absolutely. And there's all these sound effects, and I thought it was fantastic. I think the concept is amazing, but I'm very cautious of having a machine like this in my home. Polly?
Yeah, well, I don't have a Google Assistant, but I've got an Amazon Alexa. We've actually got two in our house because my husband's a real techie sort of guy.
Why do you two?
Well, quite. obviously tomorrow, because we've got one in the living room, one in the bedroom.
Obviously we need both.
Okay, what do you use them for?
So we don't use it for that much. Like, we ask it the weather every single day, which I know you could just go online and look at that yourself, but she gives a very detailed account of what the weather's going to be like that day. So I do quite like that aspect of it. Plays music. It's just kind of like having a speaker that you don't have to press a button for. You can just be like, play Radio 1 or play Magic FM or whatever. So I do find them really good, but I just feel like they're always listening. So if we've spoken about at home something that neither of us are interested in to buy or whatever, I've then found a couple of times that I've then got a targeted ad on Instagram for that particular product. And I know it's obviously because we've spoken about it, because I would never search for that.
See,
you know
that's
what, I mean?
Sorry, scares me, because they are always listening. Does that bother you?
To a degree, it bothers me, but then I like to think it's only because it's just trying to do its job for your benefits, and the whole, like, you know, listening in on your breathing and things like that. That's obviously a positive thing. And that's, again, sounds very creepy when you put it like that. But if it's to save your life, then that's great. But it does feel slightly invasive at times. But then, I don't know, I like its benefits more than the cons outweighing them. So,
and some people are of the opinion that they've got nothing to hide as well. So by all means, listen in and take my info. Becky, what about you? Have you got one like this?
If I'm being brutally honest, and I'm going to be, I think they're a bit gimmicky, personally. And also, I just think, if I've got to remember to ask them what I've forgotten, I'm never going to do that. Do you know what I mean? The one point I think is really impressive, if they can get the technology to work on it to save your life, that's obviously invaluable for elderly people. Or, of course, if they've had a heart attack, which they have listed, completely invaluable. And in that sense, I do get it, but I haven't got one. And actually, funny story, one of my friends has got a little girl who has clocked Alexa, and she wakes up about 2 a.m. and says, Alexa.
Oh,
and
my
it wakes
God.
Up the whole joke. So I think kids clock this stuff so young. And I'm not disputing there has benefits, I just, it's not for me. And when she told me that, I thought, bloody hell, like, that's crazy. Because she said then Bob Marley's coming on at like 2 in the morning. And they're all just like, no. So they're trying to have to change the name. It's just too much chaos.
How funny.
Yeah.
I actually think your point about elderly people is really good. I can imagine, you know, we've got a real loneliness problem here in the UK. It probably is almost, it's like a pseudo friend to talk to, isn't it? I don't know to what extent you can have a conversation with them, but if you can say to them, read me a story, and you're alone and you haven't spoken to anyone in a week, that's probably a really good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's true. But I also think elderly people, are they going to have a piece of technology like this in their home?
They're actually one of the more, like, you know, user-friendly pieces of technology.
You just talk at it.
All you have to do is talk at it. You don't have to press any buttons. You just plug it in and it's ready to go.
And they're surprisingly inexpensive. Like, this kind of technology is so futuristic, but they're about £100, aren't they?
Yeah, so they're quite a good gift for, like, Christmas and stuff. Yeah. So we got our first one as a Christmas gift, and I remember at the time getting one and being like, what's the point of this? We've got a speaker, and then we're totally hooked now.
And now you've got two.
Now we've got two.
I think that happens with all technology. Every bit of technology that you think, don't need this for, you do get hooked.
Yeah.
But I have to say, tomorrow, I'm completely with you. I think they are so creepy and so disturbing, and it's a bit of the future that I've got no interest in. What you were just saying about targeted advertising, I get that through my phone anyway. So I'm obviously being listened to on my phone. So taking it to a new level, like in my home, I'm not so worried about that information being kind of hacked or taken, because it's not like I've got anything so drastic to hide. It's more,
it's your personal,
it's my space. Is my personal space, and that's not for anyone, whether it's a hacker or whoever's running Google or Amazon or whatever company, to get into that space. I think
it's a bit Black Mirror, doesn't it?
It's a little bit Black Mirror for me. I agree. But having said that, all of the things that these can do are actually way more impressive than I had realized before I read this piece. I'm also taking control of your Netflix. These things help you get lazier, but if you're a lazy person like me, it's great.
Sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. But in all seriousness, I think, like you tomorrow and Becky, I will be waiting a while.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We all know that a thriving community can impact an area for the better, so it makes sense that getting involved in yours is something you'll find rewarding. So we wrote a list of all the different ways you can get involved in your local community, whether that's taking part in local elections, volunteering your time, or even shopping locally. Does anyone do anything to be involved in their local community?
I've tried to this year. Like, it was one of my like New Year's resolutions, was just to try and volunteer my time, because a couple of my friends do it. I was like, that's a bloody nice thing to do, is to help other people. So I'm in the process of training to become a telephone friend to an older person.
Oh, stop it. Oh, actually.
Yeah.
That's so nice, Polly.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's like a nice thing to do, and it doesn't require a whole lot of your time. Like, we're all super busy, but it's half an hour a week to talk to one person. Yeah. And you can do all the training over the phone, on the internet, and you just need a phone once a week.
So nice.
I think that's quite an easy one to do.
What does the training involve?
So you do sort of preliminary reading before, and then you have a kind of conference call with a trainer and like a few other people who also want to apply to be a telephone friend, and they give you some scenarios, I think, and then advise you on how to kind of go forward with them and how to treat them, because obviously you are dealing with potentially vulnerable people and lonely people who may be depressed. So a lot of these volunteering things, they do require a fair bit of time and commitment, but you know, someone like Tamara who's obviously got like five kids and whatever, it's probably, you don't have a lot of spare time to give. So I thought for something like that, it's probably a bit more reasonable.
That's lovely. And are you doing it through Age UK?
No, so it's a charity called The Silver Line.
Oh, very nice.
So
have you been assigned somebody then in your local area, or can you get somebody anywhere in the UK?
I think it's in the local area, because I found it through like Kingston Volunteering, which is the area that I live in. And so you go through the training, and then they put you into a kind of like sorting pool of people, and then they try and assign you someone that you actually would get along with and have similar interests to. So I think it's quite a rigorous process. Yeah, it's not an easy one to get involved, but I think it'll be worthwhile.
Great. Oh, I love that, Polly. Good for you. Nice. That's really good. Will you let us know how you get on?
I will
do. Good. Tamara, busy
busy lady.
I am a busy lady, but there's an elderly lady that I've been looking after. Just help her with her shopping and everything on a Friday, and I go get her shopping, like all her food shopping, things that she can't no longer schlep with her. And I go every Friday afternoon, and I do take two of my kids with me every time. She's less able now, like physically, to move around. So she was coming with me like about 3-4 years ago, but now she's stopped. So I go on a Friday afternoon to go and see her.
That's really nice.
What I do. And also I think bringing the kids around, yeah. Like, it's crazy, believe me, it's like, don't touch anything. But it's mayhem for her. But also it's lovely for her. And the kids give her a kiss, and she says, so she has a bit of physical contact as well. And you know, they say funny things to her. It's like things you wouldn't say, like, why is your foot all bandaged up and big? And, you know, but I've been doing that for quite a while. Other than that, you know, donating clothes and things, I'm really good like that. I really go through, you know, whether it's clothes, toys, and make sure I donate it to charity shops and things. So I'm really aware of that.
I mean, you have a serious handful and you work 4 days a week. So that's so impressive that you made it.
I think, you know what, it doesn't take, you know, a lot of time. When I do my shopping, I'll do hers too. It's not like she needs a lot. She lives alone.
Yeah.
But it's really for her that she knows regularly on a Friday that I turn up with, you know, I don't bring all five, but one or two kids with me. And, you know, it means the world to her.
Yeah, I imagine it probably does mean the world, especially if you are living alone and you don't have that many other visitors.
Yeah.
The same for the telephone thing. Like, it's so important for someone to have some kind of contact in the week, and otherwise she might not have that much.
Yeah, so. And she's physically not able to go out and stuff. So it's really people coming to her. She doesn't see anyone at all, and it's just the TV.
And how did you find her? Is it through a charitable organisation?
It was actually through a Jewish organisation. She's a Jewish lady and called Jewish Care. So they're a massive Jewish organisation that really looks after the community and all aspects of things. So they buddy you up with people, and you can get in touch with them if you're interested in volunteering your time.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm. Oh, good to see you tomorrow. Becky?
So off the back of what you said, I will always go through clothes really studiously and donate. And also we have a place near where I live called the Chestnut Treehouse, which is for terminally ill children, and I have actually always donated to them at Christmas, and I always make sure they get sort of things that I can't use anymore. They are somebody that I definitely feel quite strongly about, especially as I know they give a lot of time to their patients. And also on this page was shopping locally, which is something we actually really try and do. And I think being in Brighton, you're quite, I mean, anywhere really, but there are so many young businesses that are growing, and also my brother is one of them with his chocolate company. And I think you kind of forget the importance of supporting those small businesses that need to grow and need to function. And remember that they're good for you. It's all locally sourced. It's really pared back products. So yeah, actually I do my bit for the community.
Give your brother a plug. What's his chocolate company
called? His chocolate company is J Coco, and he makes it from bean to bar. And yeah, he works really bloody hard. So I think when you see him thriving, you realise that actually people forget about those small businesses, and it's so important to look after your community.
And does he sell in Brighton?
Yeah, he sells in Brighton, but he sells online, so he would ship anywhere.
Maybe we should get some for the office.
Get some tested.
I'm telling her. Well, Becky, I'm with you. Shopping locally is a big focus for us this year as well. And actually in West Hampstead, where I am, there's a little farmer's market.
It's lovely there.
It's really nice. Yeah. We were there on Saturday. They had a wood fire oven for pizzas.
Oh, wow.
Just literally by West Hampstead Overground Station. Nice. So that was great. I know. That was a win. Truffle pizza.
Oh,
yes.
Stop
that
it.
Great. And additionally, in Queen's Park, which is also just around the corner from us, they have a really lovely farmer's market on a Sunday as well. So we can keep our weekends covered with our local
And Hampstead
eating.
Have a lovely one as
Hampstead
well.
Hampstead do as well. Primrose Hill have the lovely one at the school at the bottom. So yeah, I'm sure lots of areas are really good at that. But Northwest London is particularly good for all of those. The other thing we do, I don't know if this counts as supporting your local community, but it's definitely something that we take advantage of in our community. There's like one big road that links one bit of West Hampstead to another, and they used some kind of dead space in that to build a little community park last year, and they put a concrete tennis table in this park, and Ben and I play every weekend. Obviously that's not something that we're giving, but it really makes you feel like you're part of the community. Yesterday we were playing and there were people coming, you know, chatting to each other, neighbours, all the kids run out of their houses and play together. And actually in London it's very easy to be very insular, not interacting with other people, and it's a really good opportunity to chat to your neighbours neighbours and everybody kind of from the local area, really. Yeah. Same as when you get your nails done. God, so vacuous compared to you guys, but it is nice to feel like you're interacting with the people around you, for
Definitely.
Well, if you want some tips and are feeling inspired by everybody here's great work, then do have a look at the piece. Other tips included things like helping out with your local park. You can get involved with gardening. And actually, I know, having watched a lot of BBC Breakfast, and this has been a big push for them, there's loads of organisations across London and the rest of the UK that help with de-littering areas, and you can just join walks and pick up litter on your way. That kind of thing is really great for your community as well. Join the Neighbourhood Watch and also get involved in local sports. Does that count? Is that what Ben and I do? I'm not
sure. Yeah, let's call it that.
I think also, as a mother, I think it's really important to get your kids involved in these things and make sure that they get sponsored for these. I don't know, yesterday we had like a charity event called It's a Knockout, and it's inflatables in a place in Bushy. It's like a one-off event, but it was amazing and they love it, and it's all for charity, and they do fun runs, and there's so much you can do. You've just got to look for it, really. But there is so much you can get your kids involved in.
Also local, whether it's a church doing a Christmas bazaar, or I know when I was younger going to synagogue, they used to decorate different spaces for different festivals and things. I think look for local religious centres as well, because they are particularly good at drawing people into the community. So yes, good point, Tara. Becky, tomorrow it's time for a bit of beauty. We wrote a piece on 16 beauty swaps to make for summer. I liked your intro. Just as we swap your knitwear for your beachwear, the same seasonal changes should apply to your makeup bag too. So presumably we've got to be swapping to keep things brighter, lighter.
Exactly. Fresher. Lighten your load, guys. That is my tip in this piece. I think you don't have to completely overhaul your makeup bag, but it is things like swap your thick, heavy duty balms, which I know is obvious, but for something a bit more foamy and lightweight, because I've said here, it's better at removing sweat, oil and stubborn waterproof products than thick, heavy-duty balms. So actually, you're doing yourself a service by ditching the balm and getting a foam cleanser. And then stash away really matte textures and go for creams, because they just go the distance on holiday. I mean, you're literally, when you're wearing a cream blush, you'll notice it lasts for about 3 hours, whereas your powder looks dull and dry within 20 minutes.
Yeah, also your skin changes when you're away, or even if you're at home and it's summer, there's heat, etc. Your makeup sits differently on your face, and cream formulas will just sink in and it will just be that beautiful glow rather than matte that looks powdery, heavy. I think it's really important to think outside the box when it's a different season.
In terms of creams that you've put in this piece, what are your favourites? What are the ones to recommend?
I love the Rosie Huntington Whiteley Lips and Cheek Blush Stick. It's absolutely incredible. Charlotte Tilbury, again, brilliant, slightly at the more expensive end, but if you want that, it will definitely go the distance. Another one is Nuxe, NYX. They do very good cream sticks, and you'd be hard-pushed to find it for over £10, you know. It's affordable. So I think, you know, do your research. Find something that's a bit creamy, and also stains are brilliant. I mean, you've seen it 100 times, but Benefit's Benny Tint, you can't beat it, and it will really, really lock down and stay put.
Something you also mentioned, Becky, on the piece is the DHC blotting paper, which I used on my wedding day. I always have some in my bag
from
at weddings.
Brand in particular.
Yes. Okay. They're very, very good. And it just takes away that kind of shine. You want that summery glow, but it takes away that excess oil and that shine if you're going out for the evening from the office or something. But just, you know, when you're feeling all sweaty and hot and you just need a bit of that powdered, not powdered, it doesn't look heavy. Takes away the shine.
Yeah, like a glass finish, but not. But I think, you know, in summer, powder's really not going to do anything for you. It's just not. It's going to sink into all your creases. It's going to make you look older. It's just not what you want.
So just to be clear then, what is the benefit of powder then for the rest of the year?
Powder is still, I mean, I think powder, really, what I've learned from makeup artists is you need the tiniest, tiniest amount and nothing else. So you literally need like a pinch to cover any oily surface, but that is it.
Okay.
You don't need it on your cheeks. You just need, well, unless you get oil on your cheeks, but you really do only need to be putting a tiny amount where you're oily and nowhere else. And I mean like a smattering.
It is aging though, you know, if you put too much on. And also, I don't know if Becky, you agree, but it's a lot to do with applicators as well.
Completely, yeah.
Just having the right amount. out, because you can sometimes overdo it.
You need like a really fine brush, and you should almost tap it, that excess powder off before you then put it onto your face, because you just don't need it. And I think from what you said, Charlotte, if you are going to use powder, save it for a night out or a time when you really want to lock it down and you're not going to see it in the day. I think it's better to save it for when you're not going to see it, really. That is my tip.
Got it. I learned a lot here.
Yeah.
This is where to come for good beauty tips.
You know, you said it was like obvious to obviously swap your balms for your pairs. I was like, is it? I'm still using a balm.
Us fashion girls have got a lot to learn. Okay, anything else, Tamara? Any other big swaps that you make?
I like the idea, really, of instead of all the big heavy products for your hair as well in the summer, just wear your hair loose. Give your hair a break. Mm. So, you know, it suits summer clothes. It suits that whole vibe. Just be a bit more relaxed with your hair. You know, stop with the hairsprays. Use those salty beach sprays that you can get. Try not to look too done with your hair.
I like that. You've recommended, Becky, as well, some great beach sprays. So what have you got?
So we've got IGK, which is literally one of my favourite hair brands. They have really good lightening lemon oils and everything too for your hair. They're properly all about beach waves. And then you've got Way, which is massively cult brand now.
Finally, if there's only one thing you could swap out for summer, what would it be?
I would probably say like heavy body lotions. I'd go for something a bit shimmery and a bit light, because I think there's nothing worse than going out in the heat and you feel like you've got another layer on you because you've got a heavy body lotion or a balm on. I feel almost like claustrophobic. Yeah. I just want to rip off my clothes. That is just like enough.
Completely agree.
So I think just wearing kind of a light body oil or even a very lightweight lotion just to put on your skin, I think that's the biggest swap I would suggest.
Any favourites?
I think Dove do some really lovely ones. Either some great with Saint-Tropez, like all the fake tans that actually don't feel like you can have a tan developing at the same time as, you know, hydrating your skin and keep it quite light.
Sold, yes.
So I think Saint-Tropez do a nice one if you want a bit of colour. There's so many to choose from and loads of different price points.
And Becky, one thing?
I think I would actually swap out really thick foundations, because I think there's nothing worse than having something like that on holiday. So I would go for something that's a bit more watery or more of a tint. I'm not going to say Le Men, even though that's top of my list. But I would also recommend the Laura Mercier Tinted Base. You can't beat it. It's really sheer and it wears well. You haven't got it dripping off your skin. And also Tarte Cosmetics have just launched a new watery base, which sits really nicely on the skin and it doesn't suffocate you. So, you know, it's brilliant for the day as well.
Great. Many tips. This is great.
Many tips. All right, thanks, guys. Well, if you do want more tips, then do have a look at the piece on the site. Let's end by chatting about some fashion. We wrote a trend report recently on the 80s style. It's officially back. That means lamé, glitter, big shoulders, you name it, it's here. Polly, you a fan?
Oh, I'm a big fan. I'm not sure I'm ready to kind of totally embrace it every day, but like for nights out and stuff, I'm so for it.
Which bits of the trend are you prepared to embrace?
I think it's got to be, you know, the big shoulders, and I love a bit of lamé, actually.
I like a bit of lamé too.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, it's all a lot of fun and I like admiring it, but I think it's more about the accessories for me. So like a big kind of crystal vibe earring, very Isabel Marant, or like a silver or even a metallic shoe. Like Zara have those amazing hot pink metallic ones and silver. I think they're a good way to nod to the trend. And if you do that with like a high-waisted mum jean, you look quite 80s without having to go like Joan Collins blow dry.
Yeah. I just love the shoulders. I love detail around the shoulders as well. I think it's so flattering. And also it can be OTT without being, you know, too much.
It's like intentionally OTT.
Kind of Dynasty, Dallas, I love that.
Exactly. And if you can pick pieces that are quite understated, but they have a good shoulder, then that's kind of the perfect combo, isn't it? Becky?
I feel like I couldn't get away with the shoulders because I'm a bit small. What do you think?
You need heels.
Yeah. But like you, Charlotte, I would totally be into a metallic heel. That's completely my vibe anyway. And I'm quite into the metallic jackets.
Yeah, there's a pink one in this story. It's a sexy jacket.
And I feel like you could wear that with jeans as well. Like, that could go with a lot, right?
You definitely could. Polly, do you think you can wear a big shoulder for short?
Yeah, I think you can. I think it's just all about making sure everything else is balanced out. I guess you don't want it to wear you too much. Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, I would wear heels, maybe keep the bottom half a bit more fitted.
Mm. I think you need a cinched waist to get that real V. And that is the benefit of the shoulders as well. Like, it will give you that really, I'm doing a V with with my hand. This has gone here. But that's exactly how you want to be proportioned. It gives you that hourglass shape on top. But yeah, don't go for like a big shoulder blazer, perhaps. Maybe go for like, Zara at the moment have got some good crop tops with like a big shoulder, something like that, with like a maxi skirt or even some long trousers. That'll balance it out a bit, I think.
Have to give it a go.
Finally, let's talk about summer capsule wardrobes. This is a feature that we run most years and it does really well. It's a little bit like your beauty piece, really. What to swap out, or what are the key essentials that you need in a capsule wardrobe, which everybody is obsessed with, but at this time of year. So Polly, what is in the piece?
Well, so we start off with some white broderie blouses. So obviously just nice white blouses. They've kind of been everywhere this season, but they come back year on year. So nice kind of ruffled detailed ones, maybe on the shoulders, some puff sleeves maybe with the all important broderie detail.
Worth investing in?
I think so. I've got a really nice one from Claudie Pierlo, which was not cheap, but I've had so much wear out of it and I get so many compliments on it. So I think definitely worth maybe spending a bit more money. And I think you can tell with the quality as well when you get a good quality, I'd say.
That is something you can actually wear all year round.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that trend because it's so pretty. It's so feminine. It's lovely for summer.
Yeah.
And like you said, you really can wear it with jeans in the autumn or just like a pair of tailored shorts now. I just think they're super versatile and really nice. We've got floral midi dress as well. Again, I think, you know, you might wear these to weddings as well, but you can also wear them just
that is my
I'm looking at Tamara.
Tamara's remit. I mean, maybe you should take the pew.
It's true, you do like a floral midi, but that is a capsule wardrobe for you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Just a load of them.
I mean, they're great for holidays and all sorts. And then we have relaxed jumpsuits. I've really been inspired by the Faithful kind of florally print jumpsuits. I think they're super comfy, and obviously you can just throw one on when you're feeling a bit uninspired and then you've just got an outfit that's ready to go.
A jumpsuit is like my calling.
Yeah, you love a jumpsuit.
That is me.
Yeah.
That yellow one, I would
love that one.
I could order that.
Guys,
I could.
Watch out. But that is right up my street.
Yeah. See, I would avoid a print jumpsuit just because I think it just would make me look larger.
Yeah, I have to say, I think if you're curvier, I wouldn't wear a printed one either. But they are gorgeous.
But then we've got some nice plain ones in there.
The Zara one's nice, the white one.
Yeah, really nice.
Can I also give you my top jumpsuit tip, which is that if you've got a big bottom, then to go for one that has a wider leg and not one that is tapered at the ankle.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, Charlotte's taught me this before.
Wholeheartedly agree.
That is me as well, actually.
I think it's
careful.
Yeah. And then we've also got smock midi dresses, which are the kind of obviously mini length, but they're kind of oversized-ish, lots of room, maybe with a little puff shoulder, which are just super easy to throw on over a bikini on holiday.
And then great for pregnant ladies too.
Great for pregnant ladies.
I actually have just got that bottom left one in black.
Have you? So nice.
And other stories. And it's got kind of puffy sleeves and a little tie. And it's,
lovely.
They're all inspired by a very expensive brand called Cecily Barnson, which is like upwards of £600 for a wide fitting mini dress. Yeah. So,
But they are amazing. Money were no object for me. I would buy everything from Cecily Barnson.
But there are some very good high street dupes.
Yeah, totally. I think under the stories, I've got some really good ones. And Arquette as well, actually. Got some great ones. And then we've got heeled mules. So kind of by far, I know we talked about those in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I think, but that kind of delicate mule detail, they look good with dresses and with trousers. They're, again, a very versatile piece. Linen trousers, everyone knows you need a pair of those, don't you, for your holiday?
Got some on today, girl.
Yes, you do. Polly, how would you wear linen trousers? Top tip. Becky, I like hosing with a body.
Great, guys.
I was going to suggest doing a kind of like racer top, like what you're wearing, maybe with a belt. A leather belt in the middle. Yeah, I think that would look really cool.
If a body is not for you, you can always wear a crop jacket on top as well, with like a t-shirt or a cami as well, just to balance out a high waist.
Agreed. Okay, and then we've got one shoulder swimsuit. So how do we feel about those?
Well, I actually tried one on the other day because I'm going on holiday this week, and I really like the look, but I feel you've got to be pretty slim because you've then got like this kind of almost this bulge or you've got to have really small boobs.
You risk a bit of like in between your boobs and your
armpit, and it's just like I think when you're almost like sitting down or I just think it's fine when you're standing in front of the mirror, but when you're actually moving or chasing kids around the pool and stuff like that, I don't know, I think it looks elegant. I'd love it if I was, you know, have one just to kind of throw on and then put a caftan on top or something like that. But I actually think practically, it's definitely not one for swimmers. It's not a design that
you definitely get a boob out if you're doing front crawl on one of those.
We were talking, but just before we came into the podcast, about practical swimwear though, and there is a big difference. There's the stuff that you're going to wear because you're splashing in and out of a pool, and then there's the stuff that you're going to wear because you're meeting friends at a beach club. And
I do love the design though. Yeah. I think it's a really elegant, and it's really dressed up for the pool.
Yeah, it is. There's something about that cut that looks way more elevated, and all it is missing a strap.
And so, I think you can put on your linen trousers over the top, and it looks like a body. Mm. So it's like a kind of swimmer outfit, but also a daytime outfit at the same time.
My only qualm, wouldn't get very even tan with that.
No.
Yeah.
This is something to consider.
Sorry, it's the vanity levels.
This is irrelevant to me because I only fake tan, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. But like you, probably, I love the chicness of them.
As I say, they're not for sun worshippers who are going to be getting in and out.
Yeah. No. Next, we have some lace-up sandals, which have kind of been everywhere this season so far. And they do come back year on year, but I really feel like this year has been the year of the lace-up sandal.
They're particularly pared back this year, aren't they?
Yeah, very minimal and flat. And I've got a pair. And before I bought them, I was like, these are going to be so uncomfortable. But actually, they've surprised me, I find. Have you got a pair?
No. I've got very short, dumpy legs, so it's not a good look for me. But you and Lou have lived in yours. And
yes. Yeah, you absolutely do.
Oh, I do. Trust me, they're in there. Having said that, I would wear them with a dress. I just, I went for the chunky version this year. I went for like...
Oh, the maroon ones.
Yeah, the maroon ones. I went for like really fat, chunky dad sandals instead. But these are also very elegant and easy to wear.
Yeah, I think they're a nice alternative if you don't like the kind of chunky trend that's everywhere at the moment. Next, we have tailored shorts. Again, these have been super popular. I think they're really flattering. I've got a couple of pairs. So they're the kind of waist cinching ones, but then they go a bit wider and a bit more loose.
Yeah, I love them. Anyone who saw Georgie's Come Shopping With Me on either behind the scenes or Instagram will see the M&S pair.
Oh my God, they're so nice.
So nice. Really, really nice. I recommend them.
Really good, yeah.
Would either of you wear them?
Do you know what? This isn't get the violins out, but I hate my legs. So it probably isn't something I would opt for day to day, but I'd like to think maybe on holiday I could whip out a pair of
And that's when linen trousers are great if you don't want to have your legs out.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, Polly.
And finally, we have a raffia bag, and I love raffia in every sense, in hats and bags, all sorts. But I think this is kind of like a summer holiday essential, really, isn't it? So we've got some quite sizable ones there that will fit enough stuff in, but then also some quite cutesy little ones that look good with sundresses. So yeah, I think if you've not got one already, then perfect for holidays.
And use them year round.
Yeah,
not in like deepest, darkest winter, maybe, but spring and autumn.
I feel silly using it if I'm not on holiday.
Interesting.
Because I feel it's got such a strong holiday vibe that I feel like, well, what am I doing with this going on the tube with one? And they don't really close properly. They're quite open. I mean, you get a lot in them usually, but I feel like it's something that just screams beach or screams holiday.
I don't know where you're coming from with that.
I think you just need to get over that because it has been. No, because you're right. Historically, that has always been the case. But actually, this year in particular, that have inserts that you can either kind of do up with a toggle or have like a little cinch thing so that you don't have it all wide open for all those pickpockets. But also, they don't look great with a navy coat.
Yes,
but if it's jeans and a jacket weather, just do it.
Embrace it.
Good. Well, I think that's a very comprehensive list of everything you need for summer. Do have a look at it on the site for more summer dressing inspo. I think that's just about all we've got time for this week. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Goodbye.